The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Good evening, this is Liz Webb. On this episode of The Music Room, we sat down with Bridget Carney, bassist of the band Lake Street Dive. This interview was recorded on May 19th, 2016. Stay tuned to hear from Bridget Carney. Well, thank you so much, Bridget, for calling in and speaking with us today.
No problem.
You're one of my favorite bands personally, and your newest album, Side Pony, is great. You just released that back in February, and you were just in Europe last month. So what was it like touring Europe?
It's really fun. Like, we haven't toured in Europe as much as we've toured in the United States, so the venues that we're playing over there are a little bit smaller, which is, like, a nice change of pace. It's just always good to switch it up and feels kind of fresh to play in those smaller rooms where people are nice and close to you. And, you know, it's always just fun to tour in a foreign place because all of the sort of day-to-day, like, drudgery of finding coffee in the morning and, you know, stopping at gas stations and stuff like that, if it's, like, in a new place, it's kind of, those things are a little bit fun.
That's awesome. It looks like you guys had a lot of fun based on your Instagram posts and all your Facebook posts.
Yeah.
So you just came out with the album. I also have to mention that you will be playing at the World Cafe Live at the Queen right here in Wilmington in a few weeks and promoting your newest album, Side Pony. So why did you name the album Side Pony? Is there a story behind that?
Yeah, so our guitar player, McDuck, was the writer of the song Side Pony. And he was inspired to write it when last year he got married. And at his wedding, his wife was wearing a side pony, which is a pretty non-traditional hairstyle for a wedding. but he just thought it was so cool that she was sort of putting herself out there in that way and just rocking this unconventional hairstyle. And so that was kind of the inspiration for the song, and we felt that that was could be representative of, you know, what we wanted to say with the whole record, which was just like, be yourself, do your thing, kind of like rock your side pony.
La, 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 la. Baby, I'm just living my life.
What artists and genres did you draw inspiration from while making Side Pony?
Good question. I don't know. You know, we're always kind of just listening to a bunch of music, and I think we're all fans of many different types of music, and we're not really prone to, like, making musical decisions based on a genre or an era of music. I think we're more likely to kind of amass a huge collection of things that are inspiring to us in different ways and then kind of like mash them together. So there were a lot of different things that went into the creation of Side Pony. I mean, like, for example, the song Call a Few Dogs, which was like the first single that we put out from the record. The original inspiration for that song came from a rhythm from Ghana. On some of our time off, I went with a friend to Ghana to, like, study some Ghanaian music, different things on, like, drums and also on the Ghanaian xylophone. And, like, it was just so so exciting and new to me that I wanted to, like, figure out something to do with it. And so, you know, use this drum groove, and instead of putting it in the drums, made that rhythm into kind of what the guitar does. And that kind of, like, turned it, all of a sudden it was reminding me a little bit of, like, Motown guitar parts where they do this thing where they play octaves and just one note kind of incessantly over in the background of everything, and it has this great way of, like, propelling the rhythm forward. And and so that Ghanaian drum part became this sort of Motown-ish guitar part, and then layered some stuff over that that was similarly partially inspired by, like, Motown stuff. And then by the time we got to the chorus, like, that's all, like, the verse feel, and get to the chorus, and you've been doing all this, like, angular sort of rhythmic stuff, and just desire at that point some relief from the intensity of the rhythm. And so the solution to that was to just give the choruses a really dancey beat, something akin to disco. So I don't know, that's a long answer, but we tend to, like, just cast the net wide in terms of stuff that we're listening to and let sort of influence our music.
I know that all four of you equally write your music. You share that. You contribute to songwriting equally. So what is the songwriting process? I know you kind of explained it a little bit for that, but what is the songwriting process for all of you like?
Yeah, it's different for everybody. But I know for me, like, one thing that I try to do is just keep a notebook of ideas. Like, using that Ghanaian rhythm was an idea, and mm-hmm. in another case, like, using a sort of piano part, like Beatles-ish kind of Hey Jude type of piano part, like, that might be just an idea that you're like, ooh, that excites me, and that's something I want to do. And then a lot of times, too, like, lyrical ideas are something that are, it's hard to come by, like, you can't really just sit down in front of your instrument and all of a sudden have all these ideas. So it's, for me, the best way to do it is kind of just keep this ongoing list of sort of song starter kits. And then when you do have a chance to, like, sit down with an instrument and see where those ideas take you, you're not starting from scratch. And with this record, as compared to, like, records that we did before this, we also did a lot of reconstructing of the songs together in the studio. Like, we came in with the songs in a state that they were still modular. And so sometimes we would say, well, this actually needs to have another section, or, like, this section isn't working, let's throw that out. Maybe we should actually start with this section. So that was really exciting to do some of that stuff together, where usually we just do it separate from one another.
Awesome. So I also read somewhere that Can't Stop is your first song written in a minor key that you guys have written.
Yep.
That's awesome. I definitely love the disco beat of that one.
Yeah. So,
yeah. It's really, really cool.
Disco is so fun. And we learned through the process of this record, because it ended up having, like, a couple different songs that have nods to disco in it. And it's funny because it's just a rhythm, like, it's just a beat that drums play and is fun and feels great, but it has this, like, historical connotation of, like, when disco came in the 70s and 80s, it sort of was like people saw it as this saccharine culture that was, like, killing all the artistic music, you know? So yeah. I think, like, we found that some people have an aversion to the groove itself, where, like, it's funny because it's just a groove, you know? It's just a groove like anything else.
It's a great groove. I mean,
it's so great.
Yeah. What songs are you most proud of off of this new album?
Well, I really like the way our recording of God Awful Things came together.
Okay.
That's the opening track. And it was, again, somewhat collaborative. Like, McDuck wrote that song. And then he got to the point of getting through, like, the first couple of verses in the chorus. And then he said, I have this idea that I want the last part of the song to be a sort of chorale where, like, the groove goes into halftime and it's very, creates some, like, churchy chords and some more structured, almost classical-ish, like, background vocal stuff. And then we all came up with that section together. And it was new for us to, like, have that sort of big picture awareness of, like, not just, okay, I'm writing another song, it's going to be verse chorus, and this was a moment where we said, let's do something totally different for this last part. And it was exciting to write that together.
That's great. That definitely is one of my favorite tracks off of the album too. I love that whole gospel sound at the end. So speaking of your songwriting, I know that all of you met at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston. So how do you feel your education in jazz and classical music from there has influenced your playing with the band?
The jazz thing comes into play a lot, not so much with, like, the repertoire or the style of music that we're playing, but I think just in the fact that we've come to understand music as improvisers. So we're playing this stuff that's, like, genre-wise more similar to rock and roll and, you know, disco and all these other elements, but we're playing it in always in an improvisational way. And always also, like, sort of in the jazz tradition of the instruments playing live together and responding to one another, you know, which is not quite as traditional to, like, rock and roll style.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we all have studied classical music a little bit, although not as much in the conservatory, like, just in high school and stuff. But all of those, like, getting to know the technical possibilities that exist within music is so valuable, just, like, pushing your limits of understanding. So that in the rare moments that they will be useful, you have the tools.
You switch between electric bass and upright bass while performing, but most of the time it seems like you're playing the upright. Well, how does playing an upright affect the band's sound differently than playing a bass guitar in your mind?
Mm-hmm. To be honest, it was kind of an accident that we, like, have upright in the band. Like, I just started as an upright player, and I have always been an upright player, and as our music evolved like further and further away from jazz, we just kind of kept playing upright, like didn't see a reason to switch, and also because like I don't even have an electric bass. And so we've kept it as a part of our sound. On the on Side Pony, there are a couple tracks that I play electric on. There was just a nice bass in the studio, and it seemed fun and exciting to us at the time, so we went for it. But I think like it is something. It's just always valuable to have something about your band that like distinguishes you from other bands and makes gives you the character of sound that is your own. And I think the upright element is always just immediately going to make us sound a little bit different than other bands of this
definitely
style.
For sure. And kind of backtracking, what drew you to playing the bass originally when you started out?
I was started playing in school orchestra in the fourth grade, and I was super excited about music, and I knew I wanted to play an instrument, and the school orchestra started a year before the school band, so I was like, well, I'm not going to wait around to play a band instrument, you know, I'm just going to get started right now. And of the string instruments, like the bass just seemed like the coolest one because it was so big. and here I am today.
That's great. Who are your personal inspirations, bass players or other musicians?
I love Paul McCartney a lot. I mean, all the Beatles, but McCartney's the bass player, and I also really love his songwriting. So he's definitely a big inspiration. I think we're all inspired by just looking at more recent artists like Beck is someone that is really a cool artist to watch because he keeps evolving. Like every record that he puts out has its own character, and they're all really excellent but different from one another. And he's kind of like outside of the mainstream, but like can reach a large audience of people, even though like sometimes he's doing really weird stuff with his music. It's like there's this just energy to it that is people can connect with. Another like band that I really enjoy watching over the years is Wilco. For similar reasons that they never had any big like number one hits, but they just like keep progressing as a band and following their nose sort of to the stuff that's moving them at the time. Each record is different from the next.
And speaking of Wilco, they're on None Such Records, and you just joined None Such Records. So how's that been treating you? Just last year, you joined their record label.
Yeah, it's been great. They're, as you might expect from a label that's like so diverse in their artist roster, they're really just looking to support you in what you are. And there's not the type of label that's going to push you in a different direction than what you're wanting to do yourself. So, yeah, they've been really cool. And it's inspiring definitely to be sharing the roster with like, such an array of incredible talent.
So, Richard has a question, actually.
I just think it's fascinating to see Lake Street Dive, the Carolina Chocolate Drops, all sorts of different people on None Such. When I was a kid growing up, it was a classical label.
Yeah, and they still do that. They have, like, John Cage, and they do a lot of world music and jazz. They have Brad Meldow. But they don't seem to draw boundaries of, like, what type of music they can support and what type of music they think is good, which is kind of the way that's our philosophy, too. So it's a good fit.
Have you ever considered any collaborations with any of the None Such musicians?
We'd love to. I don't know. It hasn't really come up yet. We're still early in the stages, but Yeah, I wish they had like a Christmas party or something where like all the artists get together. That would be so fun. You want to spend the night, you know what I say. I'd say hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'd say hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'd say hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So you guys started out 10 years ago about, and now you're an overnight success. You're playing Radio City. You were at Mountain Jam last year. You're just all over. So what is it like? What does that overnight success feel like?
It's definitely surreal at times. Like, we played the Beacon Theater earlier this year, our first time headlining there, and you know, see your band name on the marquee, like, and remember the first time I ever saw that band name, which was like on a chalkboard in our little practice room at the conservatory. McDuck had written out, okay, now we're gonna call ourselves Lake Street Dive. So yeah, and also in the way that like we are sharing roster with amazing artists, and we were on this British TV show last month with Paul Simon, and we got to play something with Paul Simon. He's like a huge hero of ours. So that stuff is just really awe-inspiring.
Right.
And it definitely keeps us busy. Can be stressful at times. But I think we're lucky to have arrived at this stage of success with some experience under our belts together. You know, I think that was really valuable for us to have had those 8 years together where we were doing it solely for the music and nobody really to answer to. I think that was like a really good foundation for us.
So this will be my last question. So what do you hope listeners take away from Side Pony?
I hope that, I don't know. I hope that it's a journey. You know, we tried to include songs that would elicit a lot of different feelings from people. There's sad songs and angry songs and happy songs and like angry happy songs and sad, like excited songs, you know, so I just really hope that it sort of tells the story and that people have a good time.
This is Bridget of Lake Street Dive, who just came out with their album Side Pony on Nonesuch Records. They'll be at the World Cafe Live at the Queen May 31st, so definitely check that out. Thank you so much, Bridget, for sitting down and talking to us today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, my pleasure, and we'll see you at Alma Gang.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.